it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications studios. Joining me now, Kevin Lytle. He is our Colorado State Rams insider, and we'll be looking forward to catching up with him on a weekly basis, as we always do. But I'm ready to talk X's and O's with you, Kevin. We've had a lot of speculation about what Jay Norvell's team's going to look like, this Fort Air Raid, high-flying attack. We saw spring ball, but that's spring ball. We're getting kind of into the a little bit of the real thing. Not the real thing yet, but practice starts bright and early tomorrow morning. Kevin, my man, how are you?
Doing awesome. It's been a while. Good to be back.
Dude, I know. You got to get away a little bit, right? Because it just, for the longest time, you're just nonstop going after it. A crazy basketball season. A lot of drama with football. You got a chance to get away for a little bit, didn't you?
Yeah, mid, late July is kind of the getaway time for kind of everyone in the college sports industry. So yeah, it's nice to get a little reboot. And like you said, it's ready to rock and roll now.
All right, so after you've kind of taken a mental break, you know, you get away from it all. Because we saw spring ball, and I think we all, you know, you were out there every waking hour. I was out there a little bit. It was really fun. We were really excited. Oh, wow, you know, no matter what, they're throwing the ball in the air. Now that you've taken a little step away and you're getting ready to jump right back in, where's your head at, man? I mean, are you still looking at this team going, man, either way you slice it, this is going to be really exciting this season.
Yeah, I think it's very intriguing. I'm excited to see, you know, a few weeks from now when all this really gets put into action. Obviously, the start of preseason camp is exciting in a lot of ways, but, you know, it's still practices for a long time without games. But definitely very excited to see how all this comes together. I mean, I think all the signs in spring were pretty positive. Obviously, the first test, real test, is a doozy of one. But no, I mean, the excitement from fans, and I'm right there with them to see what this all looks like.
Yeah, I was talking to Jesse Kurtz yesterday with the Mountain West Network. And, of course, he loves the Mountain West. He's going to talk up a lot of these teams. And rightfully so, the Fresno States, the Boise States, and the Air Force are getting a lot of the accolades. He was pretty excited, though, pretty pumped to see what Jay Norvell can do as soon as this season. He's thinking, man, this could be a positive year now. I mean, you know, the negative view might be, okay, well, if it's going to happen, it's not going to be this season. Still a young quarterback, completely new system. But Jesse was more optimistic that this could be a quick turnaround for Jay Norvell and his crew.
Yeah, and this is where the transfer portal really plays a role. You know, in the previous days when you had a coaching change, it took several years to get the right players for that system, especially if you were, I mean, just imagine 10 years ago, if you're trying to go from the Adazio ground and pound system to a Norvell air raid system, it would take 3, 4, 5 years to get the personnel right. Whereas now, you know, it's not 100% how they would like it, but they can absolutely run their offense and their system with the players they were able to bring in, and that does lead to, you know, quick turnarounds. Obviously, Utah State is the prime example. Last year, what they did was incredible. I think there's some elements of lightning in a bottle that's hard to completely recreate that, but I really don't think it's ludicrous to think CSU can have a solid year. And you know, kind of the line I keep drawing is I think a bowl, being bowl eligible, is a very reasonable hope for this team and for fans. And yeah, the Mountain West, obviously they have to be careful with what they say publicly, but I'm certain that they enjoy what Colorado State is spitting out into the world now more than they did what was coming last year. So I think it's very fair to think that this can be a very positive season at Colorado State.
And boy, you took the words right out of my mouth, because, you know, again, those top three teams in the conference certainly going to go on and do some fun things and represent this conference well. But Jay Norvell right now, I feel like there's a beacon suddenly. Canvas Stadium is so gorgeous, and I want to see that thing full. I remember the Oregon State game, when, you know, the first game there, Kevin, it was such a fun environment. You could feel the on-campus stuff. From that point, it just continued to dwindle down. And it does feel like there's this light. You know, you see at those, like, boat shows or whatever, this giant light is flying out of Canvas Stadium saying, hey, look at us. We might be doing something over here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, CSU needed this energy. obviously on-field results do need to come, but everything in the offseason has been great. And I was just talking to someone about this about an hour ago. Kind of no matter what happens in that Michigan game, I really expect Canvas to be rocking for that Middle Tennessee home opener. I just think fans are really excited. You know, we saw the students did really well last year. It was basically until the on and off field product forced them to disengage because it was so bad that it dwindled. But early on, it was really good. Obviously, they were really good in basketball season. So I think that student energy will really carry over. I hope it does. And, hopefully the city follows along. But, signs seem to be pretty good. People seem pretty excited. People that were very jaded and turned off, at last November, December, are now talking to me about how excited they are for the season. So that's a great sign.
Kevin, have you heard anything, from your sources or anything about ticket sales? I mean, are you seeing any kind of an uptick? Are you hearing about any kind of an uptick as far as people putting their money where their mouth is, so to speak?
Yeah, to be honest, haven't checked in on those, recently. So that's something I'll be doing here in camp as we get closer to the season. Tangentially hearing, a lot of people excited, either considering getting tickets back or they did renew their tickets when they weren't going to. I've heard about some people or groups, maybe I should say, going in for some of those luxury boxes, which financially those are really important for CSU. So I'll be interested to see what the numbers do end up as, when we get into early September. I think there are often multiple surges, with the coaching change, there's probably one right after it. Probably another little surge in spring, as people get excited about spring ball. And then another one kind of here in camp as people are like, oh gosh, the season's here. The team looks like they could be decent. Maybe we'll go in for tickets. So yeah, I'm very intrigued to see what that number looks like.
Yeah, me too. Because it does seem like you're hearing the buzz. People are excited. Jay Norvell, his players, his staff, I mean, they've certainly been out there. They've been making the rounds. Norvell's been all over the place. He was on with Jim Rome not too long ago. He was on the Rockies broadcast the other day for CSU Day. And I know all the colleges are kind of doing that thing, but he was so articulate, so fun to listen to. I was kind of blown away that Rome brought him in, but that's Norvell's NFL background. He is in the know. He has a lot of guys in the professional sports industry that I think makes this situation even more popular.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it doesn't hurt to be out in places like that. And obviously, some of the things you heard on the Jim Rome show were pretty funny. The line that keeps jumping out to me is, well, you can't score if you don't try. that had me thinking back to some other times. All that's good. And those are the really public ones, but he's also, spoken to the College of Business. He's gone around the state to various events. He's talked to a lot of the ag folk. He has been in a lot of places, both very public, like the Rome show and the Rockies game. And a little bit more private settings too, where maybe a small group, but it's really important to them that they heard from him, and all that's important. You have to do all of it, and it seems like he has been. Like I say, eventually you're gonna have to win on the field, but they haven't had that chance yet. Norvell has kind of won everything you can, and his staff as well. I mean, the recruiting is really popping. They really couldn't be doing more to make people excited, which, it's pretty incredible, the turnaround.
Well, and don't you like the attitude, though? Because sometimes you hear offensive-minded coaches go, no, we're going to, we got a good running game. We're going to be working that into the... They make no bones about it. They're like, hey, we're chucking the ball, man. Just get ready.
Yeah, they are not shy about it. They're very comfortable in their skin of what they do. And I actually really liked the, philosophy talk on the Rome show of, hard run games. They always talk about, break the will of the defense and everything. And he said, that's what our attack does. It's just do it through the air. If we throw deep on you 15 times, how confident are you that you're going to stop every one of those? That wears on your DBs. You're getting freaked out if you're going to get torched on the next play. I thought that was pretty fascinating conversation of it's just a different way to try and panic defenses, basically, and we completely believe in it, and we will force them to be really, really good from play one to play 80 or whatever it is.
Yeah, and don't you think that I think there's so much truth to that too, because if I'm a defense and I got you to 3rd and 12, I'm not celebrating at all. I'm thinking, man, the way they throw the ball here, they could easily pick that up. Third and 12, whatever. That's demoralizing. Steve Adazio, I don't think, picked up many of those third and 12s.
Yeah, I mean, just think of it. You're sitting in the stands as a fan. You got beverage. When the quarterback turns around and hands off to Ryan back, you feel a sense of dread in your stomach. No.
No.
But when you see the quarterback drop back and you'll lean back and start to heave it, there's a little part of you that's going, oh, no, what's going to happen here? Especially if it's a good, you know, Broncos fans. What happens when you face Patrick Mahomes and you see him gearing up one of those bombs? You're not feeling great, are you?
No, not at all.
So I think that's, you know, maybe I think the new age of football, you know, you still have some of these classic old school folks that think you don't win that way. But I think you're seeing that change more and more. And I, you know, just logically, it makes sense to me. That when you're throwing, you know, deep balls and, you know, intermediate routes like that, that causes some panic in teams because it's hard to defend that all the time.
All right, so what are we looking for tomorrow, Kevin? I'm going to be out there with you bright and early. 7 o'clock, is that right?
Yeah, 7 o'clock, and it is kind of interesting. You know, we talked in the spring how they were doing split practices with, you know, the ones and the threes and twos and fours. It gets a lot of reps for especially guys lower down the depth chart to try and create depth. So they're doing that the first couple weeks of camp here before school gets started. Obviously, once school gets going and once you get into true game day prep, you move into full, you know, team practice mode. But they're doing that, so I'm I think it's a good idea. I like that. So I guess to basically just completely jump in and cut you off, that's one of the things I think is an intriguing part of camp here.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, I guess you see this sometimes, but this is relatively new, and this is what I'm seeing, like Nathaniel Hackett in Denver, he's kind of doing away with 7-on-7s, which is apparently a big deal to some. You've got CSU doing this kind of different thing, how they're doing different sessions, so to speak. Like you said it, new age stuff. I mean, people freak out at this, but I tend to like it, man. There's when we rewrite things, sometimes it works out and it makes it exciting. We don't have to be set in our ways.
There's a lot new with this staff. I mean, obviously the offense obviously isn't new from what CSU's been doing. You know, it's a pretty young staff top to bottom. You have some really young coaches. And, you know, they do a lot of kind of advanced technology stuff. We've seen the guys, you know, with the VR technology and, you know, guys wearing basically GoPros so that they can study film, you know, literally from their perspective, on plays. So a lot of stuff that we haven't seen at CSU before.
Yeah, no question, man. And it's exciting to see it, to hear it, to see the Twitter stuff, to see all of it go crazy. I'm ready to see it tomorrow. But Kevin, before I let you go, how much of this, though? Clay Millen, I'm excited. I know we're going to be working with Clay on a weekly radio show here, so we're looking forward to that. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you got to have a quarterback that can handle everything that these guys are drawing up.
Yeah, and, you know, that's obviously one of the biggest question marks. I think everyone, you know, Clay looks really good in practice. The staff, which obviously has a history of quarterback success, really likes him. But he's, you know, he hasn't played since he is a senior in high school. His first game is going to be Michigan, so right in the deep end kid. And so I think even the staff knows, you don't know 100% what it's going to look like live. And, you know, to be real honest, he's probably going to be a lot different quarterback week 12 than he is week 1 just because of the growth pattern for especially a young guy. But again, in preparation, it seems like he has done and has all the tools that you can ask for. And that's, you know, really all you can hope for. He's been in the system now, you know, since he entered college. So he does know it. But yeah, until, you know, a real game happens, you don't 100% know what's going to happen.
I love, though, first game, Michigan. I mean, here we go. Let's just throw them in the fire.
ABC, it's the first Saturday kickoff of that opening weekend.
Wow.
I mean, you couldn't really draw up more eyeballs for, you know, a team, especially a team that's coming off a, you know, a pretty bad season. So a great opportunity. And like I say, other than health, you know, that's always one concern. But other than health, it's kind of a win-win. I mean, if you get blown out by Michigan, it's not like anyone's hitting the panic button. So you kind of have a lot of wiggle room to try and create some successes in different levels.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Kevin, my man, we'll be looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. I know you're going to have write-ups and you have your, I love your mail back, everything you do to get people involved and asking questions. And I know we're going to try to start answering some of those questions coming up. Quickly, before I let you go, I had Ellison Hubbard on yesterday. And he brought up who his first matchup is. Sam Houston State's playing A&M. Ellison is so excited at who's going to be on that sideline coaching the offensive line. He brought it up. I was going to go there, but he brought it up.
Yeah, I had not noticed that until I saw you tweet
about it.
And I saw Ellison kind of post about it on social media last night. And, yeah, I'll have to have an eye on that one because I am sure he would thoroughly enjoy a sack that game. So, no doubt. So, I mean, obviously, I think everyone assumes and expects A&M will probably kind of roll Sam Houston.
Oh, sure,
But Ellison certainly has a little personal battle for himself, so that will be an intriguing one to watch, no doubt.
I did ask if he was going to go shake his hands. I totally think he should do the fake you out number, like psych. I think he should do that. I think that would be great entertainment. Kevin, my man, we're catching up tomorrow too because we got some things in the work that we're cooking with you guys at the Coloradoans. So I'll see you in the morning. I'll see you tomorrow afternoon. Maybe just hang out for the weekend, man. Let's just make a few days of it.
Yeah, it's getting to be that time of year where Colorado and KFK, we just kind of roll deep together.
I love it, my friend. Wouldn't have it any other way. Appreciate you as always. Awesome. I'll see you bright and early in the morning, my man.
Absolutely. See you tomorrow, Brady.
All right, there. 12:51 the time. Let's wrap up this first hour on the other, or second hour. We're going 3 hours, Jades. We got the 1 o'clock hour coming up. I'll get to today in the NFL, more on my poll question, all that and more. Also, Joe Parker. We're going to have him on the show tomorrow. But how much of Joe Parker's legacy hinges on Jay Norvell being successful in these next couple of seasons? All that and more coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Oh, make me over.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.